What is the greatest question that's ever been asked? What's the greatest question that we could ask? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the first time that the gospel was preached after the death, burial, the resurrection, and ascension of Christ back to heaven, Peter and the other apostles preached the gospel of Christ. There were some in that audience who just about 50 days earlier were among the crowd crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They realized finally their rebellion against God. They finally realized that the man whom they wanted crucified is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. And they ask a question. "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" In Acts 16 and verse 30, another individual asks the same question. "What must I do to be saved?" In these series of lessons, we're looking at the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, I must obey that gospel. I must put on the Lord in baptism, becoming a child of His, committing my life to Him. The rest of my life is spent not for myself, but for Christ, and for His cause, and for His sake. When we become Christians, when we obey the gospel and become children of God, as we talked about in our lesson earlier, how we approach others with the gospel, how we take the gospel to the lost souls in the world. First and foremost, we must make sure we have the right understanding and the right attitude of what it means to be a Christian. There are two separate questions that we can ask ourselves that indicate an attitude. Once I become a Christian, I might ask the question, "What can I do for the Lord's cause? What all can I do for the Lord's cause? How can I busy myself in the kingdom of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" But there may be some that ask this question: "What do I have to do in order to go to heaven?" Or, "How little can I do? What is only necessary in order to go to heaven?" I want us to think about those two questions this morning and think about, in obeying the gospel. You know, it was pointed out in our Bible class lesson this morning, when one obeys the gospel of Christ, one must understand that he or she is making a commitment, making a promise to the God of heaven. Not a promise to do as little as I can to get by, but a promise to devote my life to Christ, to devote my life to His cause. And in doing that, really my attitude should be, how much can I do for God? And you know, oftentimes Christians, we oftentimes feel inadequate. We oftentimes, even when we're doing all that we can do, and yet still sometimes we feel like we're still not doing enough. Because we understand there is so much to do. There are so many souls in this world that are lost because they do not have Christ. As children of God, we sometimes see the wrong attitude in morality. we see individuals that, when we go to Galatians chapter 5, for example, and we read about the works of the flesh, beginning in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Oftentimes, within the Lord's church, within the body of Christ, we really don't think about some of these things as being sin. Even though it's right there in Scripture, we don't think about it as being sin because it is so prevalent in our world. There are so many people around us, in the world around us, that engage themselves in these things. And to them, it's nothing. And so then we began to compromise with the world as Christians. You know, Jesus was condemned on occasion because he ate with publicans and sinners. But you know, the point is, Jesus ate with them to gain the opportunity to teach them. He taught them the truth. He never compromised with them. He never made himself like them from the standpoint of committing the things that were wrong that they committed. But he took the opportunity to teach them about the morality of God, to teach them the right way. And we must do the same. When it comes to the cause of Christ as Christians, we must not try to get away with how little we can do, but as Christians, we must constantly busy ourselves in the cause of Christ. For the Christian, living the Christian life is just that. It is my life. Christ is my life. He's not something I do on Sunday. Christ is who I live every day of my life as a Christian. And so when it comes to studying His Word, it's not something that, you know, for me is an inconvenience. But it's something that I want to do because it's who I am now as a Christian. I want to learn more and more about Christ, more and more about His life, more and more about the manner of life that He expects me to live. I want to learn more and more about God so that I can live the life that Christ lived. As a Christian, I must make sure that people see Christ in me. They see Christ in my speech every day. No matter where I am, whether I'm at home, whether I'm on the job, at work, wherever I am, they see Christ in my speech. They see Christ in my actions. Always. They see Christ in the person that I am. The attitudes that I present to people. The concern that I have for people. The desire to help them. When we think about standing before the Lord in judgment, in our Bible class lesson this morning, it was pointed out, you know, that we don't want to be wrong. And we hate to think about the idea of standing before the Lord in judgment and realizing that we were wrong about something. But you see, the point is, as a child of God, God has given me His Word so that I know what He expects. You know, the Bible talks about hope being the anchor of the soul. The Bible talks about how that as Christians we can be confident. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid of standing before Christ in judgment. Because God has told us what He expects of us. And He has told us He doesn't expect more from us than what we can do. But He does expect of each and every one of us that we do everything that we can do. And that's what we as Christians, that's the attitude that we must put forth in our lives day by day. In this passage that was read earlier for us in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus here presents to us a scene. He presents to us the final judgment. And He talks about in verse 22, some who in judgment will in effect argue with the Lord. They will say in effect, but Lord, look at all the things that I've done. But Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Why? How can that be? How can it be that a person thinks they're doing that which is right, thinks they're obeying God, but in judgment they find out, no. The Lord says, I never knew you. The problem is that people put their confidence of salvation in the wrong thing. They put their confidence of their salvation in what something that someone else has told them. Or they put their confidence in their salvation in the way I feel, not what I find written in the pages of Scripture. Oftentimes, people put that confidence, even though they haven't read and they haven't really studied the Bible, to learn what God expects in their lives. We get this attitude, and we have to be careful as Christians, because this attitude is seen in the world. An attitude of selfishness, an attitude of self-centeredness, an attitude of, I want to do things my way. We must be careful, because we cannot have that attitude as Christians. I must do things God's way, not my way. I can know that I'm right. Each one of us can know that we are right. And we can be confident that, and I can have that peace. We talked last night in our lesson about the peace of God. I can have that peace. When I lay down at night, I don't wonder. I don't worry about, you know, what if I don't wake up? Where will I be? I can have confidence because, first of all, I believe God and His promises that He's made. And I can know whether or not I'm doing what God expects of me. Look at Jesus' statement in verse 24 of Matthew 7. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. See, we can hear Christ, we can know what Christ would have us do, and we can do it. But we have to block out of our minds and block out of our lives all the things of the world, where the world is trying to confuse us. The world is trying to lead us astray. God gave us His Word for a reason. He wants us to know. He wants us to be confident. Look with me also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. The trouble that he's talking about there is those Christians who are troubled by the tribulations of life and by the temptations of life that we see in the context. And so he's saying to Christians, you know, you're troubled by those things, but rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We find rest in that day when the Lord returns. And we find ourselves before Christ in judgment. We can stand there boldly with confidence, not in fear, but in reverence. Because we trust the Lord to fulfill His promises. But He goes on to say in verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. He just emphasizes to us the fact that God has given us this book. But He doesn't want us to decide to do things our own way because my way is better than God's way. Or because my way is more convenient than God's way. Or because my way is more accepted in the world around than God's way. God wants me to follow not the world, but follow Him and follow His will. In our lesson last night, we emphasized the urgency of studying the Bible daily. You know, we emphasized one of the points that we made in that lesson last night. If I went to a doctor and the doctor diagnosed me with a disease that would be fatal, and yet he said, but there's a way you can be healed. And he gives me some material, he gives me a pamphlet, and he says, go home and read this and do what it says. How many of us would go home and set it on the coffee table or set it aside and say, I'll get to that later? We wouldn't, would we? We would go home and right then we would start reading. And we would do what the doctor told us to do so that we may live. The Lord tells us how to live spiritually. The Lord tells us how to be with God forevermore when this life is over. But this is where He tells us. And He expects each of us to make the time to read, to learn, and to obey. God expects me to do the very best that I can do as a Christian. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you want to open your Bibles with me. Look at verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Take the opportunity we have here and now to do all that we can do for the cause of Christ. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Christianity, God requires my full commitment, my full conviction. He requires my full devotion to Him and to His cause. You know, in the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament offered animal sacrifices. Do you remember that God required that they offer the best that they had? They could not offer an animal that had spot or blemish. They must offer the best that they had. Well, that sacrifice was representative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God offered to us the best in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, there is no sacrifice that could be better, that could be greater than Jesus Christ. In return, God expects of me the best that I can do in living the Christian life, putting my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first in my life. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." You see? That's what I'm seeking. Be acceptable unto God. "Which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When I become a Christian, even my mind changes, my thinking changes, and that's what changes my life. Because I realize my commitment to God. I realize my commitment to the cause of Christ. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." First of all, we see in this passage how important the church is to God. The church is not something that's an option. I must be a part of the Lord's church. I must be an active part of the Lord's church because it is important to God. And then as part of the Lord's church, and He points out, having I must be without spot, without wrinkle. In other words, I must put forth my best effort. Doesn't mean I will be without sin. 1 John chapter 1, He points out that even as Christians, we are not above sin. We will make mistakes. But I do not decide that because I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to try. See, that's not the thinking of a Christian. But I put forth my best effort. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." See? Jesus Christ is our standard. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, God's people were comparing themselves with one another. What they did is this. A person would make himself feel good because he would pick out someone else who he thought was worse than he. And he would make himself feel good because he was better than that person in his estimation. You remember in the New Testament, Jesus spoke of a Pharisee and a publican who both prayed to the Lord. Their prayers were very different. The Pharisee prayed to the Lord, "I thank thee, God, that I am not like this publican." And then he told the Lord all the good things that he had done in his life. The Bible says the publican bowed himself prostrate before God. and he asked God to forgive his sins. Jesus said, the publican went to his house justified and not the Pharisee. I must humble myself before God. I must realize that I'm not perfect. And yet I put forth every effort to be the person that Jesus was and the person that Jesus continues to be, even now as he sits on his throne. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, notice with me verses 13 and 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We look for a new heaven and a new earth. We look for a new dwelling place. Not this world, but another that God has prepared for us. And Lord willing, in our lesson tonight, we want to conclude this series with that home. What exactly do I expect as a Christian once death comes? Because the Lord reveals to us the fact that I don't have to be afraid in death. I don't have to be afraid to stand before the Lord in judgment. But as he says here, as we contemplate these things, it needs to guide our decisions and our choices that we seek to do the will of God. As a Christian, you see, I can no longer be my own priority. No one else around me can be my priority. Matthew 6 and verse 33. God has told us what our priority must be as His children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is His church, and His righteousness, which is this book. Psalm 119, 172, the psalmist said, all thy commandments are righteousness. Seek his righteousness and his church first in our lives. And by the way, not first just on Sunday, but truly first in our lives, which means every day, every moment of every day, God comes first. I must do all that I can. But now, even when I do all that I can, realize that I am still saved through Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that we talked about in an earlier lesson. You know, I cannot save myself. I can't do enough good things to take away my sin. Even when I do all that the Lord, or all that God would have me to do as much as I can, still need to be saved and still will only be saved through Jesus Christ. Look with me in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 verse 10. Jesus says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Christianity is an attitude. I must make my attitude be that which God would have it to be. I must realize as a Christian, there's nothing greater than God. There's nothing more important in my life than God, His will, And that includes taking the gospel to the lost. That includes working in His kingdom, because that's ultimately the mission that He gave every one of us. To seek for our souls to be saved and seek to be involved to bring others to Christ, that their souls also may be saved. You know, those individuals on Pentecost, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They had come to an understanding that they had had part in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted to change. They wanted to do what God wanted them to do, and that's what they were asking. If you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel, the answer they received is the same thing we must do today. When we realize that sin has control of us and we want to be forgiven, what must we do? The same thing they were told. Through faith, repent of sin, be baptized into Christ, confessing Him as our Lord and Savior, that His blood will take away our sins. Romans 6, Paul talks about being baptized into the death of Christ, because that's where His blood was shed. In John 19, when He was hanging on that cross, and that soldier thrust his spear into His side, blood and water flowed. And it's only through the blood of Christ that our sins are forgiven. If you've not done that, we would encourage you to do so this very day. As children of God, we must constantly busy ourselves with the work of the Lord, because that's our life. That's who we are now, because we are God's children. That's our priority. If there be one as a child of God who understands and knows that's not been the priority, we need to repent of that. We need to change that. I'm the one who decides what is priority in my life, and you decide what's priority in your life. And God wants each of us to make Him our priority. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, whether to become a child of God or as a child of God, if you desire the prayers of the church on your behalf, we invite you to come while together we stand, while we sing this song.